Beautiful day. Good day to all of you. It's good to have so many of you here. And to have one of the best pumpkin pie cooks around. Dolly makes a great pie. So we're glad to have her here. We don't want her to move. I guess we're all going to have to move with her. Thank you for that beautiful hymn. Very meaningful words. We're very grateful for your service and coming over here to us. I just have one comment. Can I have your tie? That's a great looking tie. It is indeed a full day, a good day. I want to talk to you about one of the parables that you well read about. I think you know it well, but I want to go through this one parable with you today in some greater detail. This parable is one that Jesus gave to his disciples, helping them to understand his plan. It's encouraging, but also there's a warning in this parable. It's called the parable of the talents. The parable of the talents. We do need to be reminded every so often that we're here on earth for one important lesson: to glorify God in everything. This parable teaches us that we're accountable and responsible to God for the way we use the resources that He has given to us. That He has given to us as individuals. In our life, sometimes we don't spend much time thinking that we have talents. But it says in Matthew 25, and there are very few scriptures we'll be using today. This will be a key one. If you want to put something in there to mark the chapter, well, that would be fine. It might help you in turning. But the key scriptures that we're going to go through are in Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. And for the most part, I'll be using the New King James Version. The kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. Now, there's a lot of personalness in all of this. The man in the parable is a resurrected Jesus Christ, and he's gone away. He ought to travel to a far country. His servants, it says, are his. He called his own servants. The servants are there for many generations before us and perhaps after us, if the world will last that long. The far country represents the kingdom. That is where we are destined. We're to be kingdom seekers. In verse 15 it says, "And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey." A talent is a very large amount of money. At the time this was written and translated into English, a talent was a measurement of gold. And it was about the income of one person for 20 years. So if you were given that amount of money, of gold, it would be the amount you as one person might earn in 1 year or 20 years if you got 1 talent. Or if it was 2 talents, it would be quite a bit more, wouldn't it? 40 years worth of income. If you were given 5 talents, that's the amount of gold that you would receive from working 100 years. Now, when you put that comparison together, I hope that the value of it becomes a little bit more clear. But it is given to each person's ability. We all have different abilities and will be given different amounts. Some of you might have been given what you would produce in 100 years. You might have been given 5 talents. Some of you 2, some of us 1, some of us 3, some of us 4. The fact that we were given so much opportunity, putting ourselves into it, that we are the ones receiving this, in advance, you're given this in advance, represents something. These people that were given these talents, these servants, hadn't done anything to earn it at that point. It was given to them in advance. Can you imagine someone coming to you and says, here, I'm going to give you 20 years worth of your income. I'm going to put it in the bank for you right now. And I want you to do something with it while I'm gone. What would you do? The master's gone away for a long time. And in advance of the labor, he's given you payment. This symbol of our gifts that are given to us, our abilities, our skills, is very important for us to consider, because each one of us have been given something. Each of us have been given even more. We've been given some things. And it is important for us to realize, as the parable states, that it was not theirs. It was given to them, not because they've earned it, but because he cared for them. He gave his servants payment in advance. And they were to then work and increase that amount. Who for? Themselves? No. For the master when he returned. For Christ when he returns. We are given gifts and abilities for us to use by God for his glory. He doesn't recognize us to all be yellow pencils and we're all given the same amount. But he does expect us to all achieve growth according to our ability. Some of us have an advantage, a good environment. Some of us have the advantage of a good family. Some of us have an advantage of a good education. Some of us have the advantage of a quiet and peaceful home life. Some of us are blessed with loving parents or loving grandparents. Maybe you have a good source of employment. Somewhere around those things, there's something good that you do have. Now, I've worked with a number of you over these years, and I know some of you don't think much of what you have to work with. But you do have something to work with. So what talents has God given you? What talents has God given you? When I start asking that question and beg you to examine it and reply to it, I think I've just gone from preaching to meddling. Because you have to now look at yourself as I have to look at myself. What do I have? What do I have that should be developing and growing? 16, verse 16. Then he who received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. He that had received the 2 more also. Verse 18. But he who received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. Remember, it isn't his money. He says he hid the Lord's money. Now, when you read in this verse and you see that he says he traded with them, that means he invested it. He did what he could to make it grow. Now, when I say invest, because of our society, I think often our mind immediately goes to the dollar sign. Because we think of it in the terms of financial investment. And it is perhaps a symptom of our society and what is we consider to be valuable. We may not consider the things that may be more important as also very valuable. According to the American Heritage Dictionary, Investing means to devote morally or psychologically as to purpose. So you have something to provide growth for. To purchase or expenditure in something in the realization that it is intentionally going to be profitable. Well, with zeal and purpose, two of these individuals that were given talents went forward, began to expand and use their gifts, their skills, to increase them, and they became then a blessing to others. And the whole point, again, was to glorify the master. Unfortunately, the third servant dug a hole and hid it in the ground. Now, if someone came to you with 20 years worth of gold, the years that you worked, and gave it to you in gold and said, here, I want you to work on this, would you dig a hole in the ground and bury that gold? Have any of us done that? 19 says, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So a long time is talking of the resurrection and the second coming of Christ. And settling of the accounts is discussing judgment that we receive. The judgment that we will receive. And so 20, he that received the five came and brought five other talents. And the Lord said, you delivered to me five talents. Look, I have gained the more talents also. And the Lord said, well done, good and faithful servants. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And in a similar style, this one that had gained two talents said, Lord, you delivered to me two talents. Look, I've gained two more talents. Verse 23, and his Lord said, well done, and good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. I think it's interesting that he says, five talents developed five more, and two that developed two more. He says, is a few things. There's more to be enjoyed, more growth to be had. And he said, enter into the joy of our Lord. This is talking of the resurrection because there's been product with what has been given to them. Both doubled their given opportunities. They have both achieved the same amount of growth, but they both achieved different amounts of growth as well. He simply expects there to be growth and multiplication of what has been given to us in our life. He says that they were faithful over a few things rather than many things, right? Christ indeed is pleased with whatever growth we are able to do, but it must be to his glory and honor. Now, if you hold your place in Matthew 25, I'm going to go to Mark 4, verse 20, and just read, let me read for you. Others are like the seed planted in the good ground. They hear the teaching and accept it. Then they grow and produce fruit, some 30 times more, some 60 times more, sometimes 100 times more, reminiscent of the hymn that was just done in special music. Let's be very specific in our questioning of ourselves. Be very clear. How have you invested your God-given talents? And you may not have stirred on the subject of what are your talents, but have you really looked at what your God-given talents are? Let's turn now to Matthew 17. Matthew 17, verses 14 through 21. You see, with the power of God that he has given to us, the Spirit, we have unlimited potential. The only limit is what we put on it ourselves. Whatever hesitation, whatever preoccupation, it is because of us. Matthew 17, verse 14. And when they had come to him, the multitude, a man came to him kneeling down and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is epileptic and suffers severely. He'll fall into the fire, other times into the water. So I brought him to the disciples, but they could not cure him. And he says, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? Faithless, backward, sinful, ungodly generation. He said, bring him to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Now, the disciples wanted to know about how this happened, so they privately investigate and ask him. And he says in 20, it's because of your unbelief. For assuredly, I say to you, if you had faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here, and it will move there. Nothing will be impossible for you. But you need to have it involved in your life, dedicated to prayer and fasting. Because of our carnal humanity, we lack the faith often to reach our potential. We get into this little bit of self-talk, this defeated notion, and we find ourselves all of a sudden thinking we cannot, when with God and His Spirit all things are possible. This self-talk, this lying that we do to ourselves, constantly telling us that, no, you can't do that. You aren't good enough. You aren't smart enough. You lack the opportunity. You can't understand it. We convince ourselves that we don't have all the connections or the talent to achieve marvelous things. In reality, there are only obstacles for us to move around. I bought my son a coffee mug that he has at work. And he's an engineer, as I think many of you know. And it says on there, engineer, solving problems you don't understand and ways that you cannot comprehend. All of us have some potential somewhere that someone else doesn't even understand. What we really lack is the confidence and faith that is possible by tapping into the power of God. Now back to Matthew 25, verse 33. Going back to Matthew 25, verse 23. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Remember that this was his attitude. He wanted to be faithful. Now we take that and compare it to verse 24. He that received the one talent, said, I know you're a hard man. Reaping where you had not sown and gathering where you had not scattered seed. I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. He understands it's not his. It's the other talent. The talent belongs to the master. Here it is. It's yours. But the Lord answered and said, verse 26, you wicked and lazy servant. You know that I reap where I had not sown and gather where I had not scattered seed. The master does expect growth. He expects it from all servants everywhere. He does reap where he had not sown and gathers where he didn't scatter seed. He gives us each personally a commission to grow. His disciples must sow, and we reap, and we gather on his behalf. He gives us, indeed demands from us, and understands that our commission is to grow, to develop. He expects faithful servants. He expects self-denial. He expects self-control, self-sacrifice from his servants. And if you read on, you see that the Lord did not agree with the accusation that he was a hard man. Our giver of these gifts is not a hard man. Is Jesus Christ hard? Unreasonable because he expects us to grow? No. That's a reasonable thing for us all to accept. And so, thinking back in Matthew 11, now for a moment, turning back to Matthew 11, 25 through 30. It makes the point of what has been given to us and what is expected. Matthew 11, 25, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and the prudent. You revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He is not a hard man. We are to come to him with prayer and fasting. Come to the one that has allowed you to receive a gift. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. No, he's not a hard man. Not what that one with the one talent thought when he buried it. I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Don't believe all this self-talk, this doubt that comes from the angels that are dismissed from the throne of God, the demons, who threw obstacles and destruction in our way. Come and receive salvation. Come learn discipleship. Come and accept the yoke that God has given you in your life. The yoke means instruction under discipline. To discipline ourselves. And this is contrasted, in fact, to being a slave to Satan. Ancient Pharaoh, like the devil, was a harsh and cruel taskmaster. And we've been given relief from him. And now you can make bricks with straw, not bricks with no straw. So when we go back and review for a moment in Matthew 25, the main text for the day, Matthew 25, let's review for a moment starting in 24. This message is really about our attitude in life. It says, then he who received the one talent came and said, I knew that you were a hard man, reaping where you had not sown, gathering where you had not scattered. I was afraid. What's your attitude? Are you fearful? I hid your talent. Are you afraid of trying? Look, here's what it is yours. I buried it in the ground. And he says, you're wicked. Servant, you're a wicked man. The third servant looks upon his master as a demanding harsh and impossible things. He thinks he's too hard to please and lets this be his excuse for doing nothing. It is as though he thought, I know you're unreasonable and that there is no way to please you, so I'm not even going to try. The man's attitude is that the master, Jesus Christ, is the problem. instead of having an attitude of humility, deserving forgiveness, this servant blames the Lord for being negligent. He was afraid to take risks to be part of the kingdom of God. So he says in 27, "So you ought to have deposited your money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest." Psychologists tell us that the number one reason for procrastination is the fear of failure. Procrastination, this for some, gets in the way, and failure is inevitable. Rather than grow or even maintain the gifts that have been given to us, this servant actually lost the opportunity and the ability. Once his first love of the faith died down, he stopped growing and spiritually, and was not spiritually mature. So you see, really, the point of this is unfortunately way too simple. We as disciples are either growing or we're spiritually dying. There is no middle ground. You either move up or you don't. The unprofitable servant hid his gifts and squandered his opportunity. None of us want to be that unprofitable servant. So then at the end of this little, a few verses of parable, it says in 28, he said, "Take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and to him who will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There'll be weeping, gnashing of teeth." The old saying is, if you want something done, give it to a busy man. The one talent not used was a lazy man. So, brethren, how are we doing? How are we weighing ourselves? What kind of a servant have we become? It's important that we be active about our Christian life. What are some of the ways that you can multiply the talents you've been given, the skills, the abilities that you have? I want you to consider some of the ways that you can multiply and please your master when he returns. I want you to think about this from the perspective of not getting necessarily sin out, but replacing the sin with growth. If you leave it as a void, it will fill in again. If you take sin out, though, and you see that there's something to be done to move forward, that is what we must do. So I want you to analyze yourself. How to invest your God-given talents? What about your personal strengths? Let's look at this area of personal strengths. They might be indeed somewhat physical, yet they can all be useful. Perhaps you're good at managing. Perhaps you have the gift of organization, planning, getting things done. Is that something that has been given to you and you recognize that as a talent that you have, rather than seeing it as something that just somebody else has and I'll never get there? But has it been given to you? Perhaps your abilities in this day and age involve technology. Some of you probably have a natural skill for embracing technology. Some of you don't. But some of you are great at organization. Perhaps you're an artisan. Some have special skills using imagination and hands. Perhaps it's mechanical, perhaps carpentry, perhaps crafts. Perhaps it's making greeting cards. Perhaps it's sculpting. Perhaps it's painting. What comes out of your mind that you can provide enjoyment for someone else? Where are you using those talents that you have of an artisan nature? Some of you are good at teaching. Some of you have the ability to explain information to others in a way that they can understand and comprehend. This is a unique gift to be a teacher, to take something that someone doesn't understand and help them to comprehend it and use it. That is a talent. Do you have that talent? Can you expose more of it? Perhaps your communication talents are strong. Some of you in communication look at this whole topic wrong, unfortunately. You think that communication is talking. Communication is often in good listening. Are you a good listener? Can you take information in and form a new thought? Didactics, some strange word that I learned long ago. You take information in, and then you reformulate it and come out with new and better information at the other end. Some of us know real well how to interrupt or contradict when people are talking because we haven't learned to be good listeners. Others of you have learned really well how to be a good listener. And so you might have the right word at your tongue, the right thing at the right moment when someone needs encouragement because you listen. You listen. You listen. And you take in what is being given to you. And then the apples of gold and bowls of silver come forward. A proper perspective, no matter how difficult the situation might be. Some of you have foundational strengths, spiritually foundational strengths, prayer, meditation, study, service. You have strong understanding of these, or you have understanding of these that it needs to move to strong understanding. Prayer. Can you become a prayer warrior? Is your prayer with God so vital, so strong? And this is a talent that has been given to you that you need to further develop. Do you understand that you could become a person with strong prayer life? And that God would listen to you. Now, this is something for us to consider in the entirety of the congregation. I'm not just talking to people who have been baptized. I'm talking to each of us. Young people can pray strong prayer. Perhaps it's in meditation. You can learn how to expand your spiritual discernment by meditation. Thinking about the kingdom of God and how to achieve success towards that kingdom. And knowing that it will change everything we do, and what we have in this present age will no longer be what is complete. Completeness and beauty is on the other side. Bible study. You can study the Word of God so you can offer the right scripture at the right time to those who need encouragement, who need motivation or edification. Or you can just study, and it's only academic. And you know it, and it's marked up. I've been there. I've done that. I've got a well-marked Bible here. But it has to move from the academical to the practical. Perhaps it's in service. Do you understand how to sacrifice some of your time, some of your strengths, and you serve and can be then a light in your community? Maybe they don't even know that you exist because you are not serving in your community. What about the fruit of the Spirit's strengths that might be given to you when you consider what is the joy, peace, faithfulness, generosity, overcoming sin? What has God given to you there by His Spirit? Well, to have joy, we can be a one-man crusade against the lemon suckers of this world. There's plenty of lemon suckers out there. The whole world's falling apart. Can't find anything good. Well, at least you got a lemon, you know? There's a lot of lemon suckers, and there needs to be a lot of people with happiness in them. Are you that one person that can boil up that happiness and smile at a lemon sucker and say, "Boy, I'm sure glad I got to know you." What do you want to know me for? Well, you can be that one person that radiates happiness, enthusiasm, a positive experience. And you can grow in that opportunity, regardless of what might be lacking in your life. Perhaps patience is what you need. Perhaps patience is what you have. Perhaps patience is what you can teach. You can be a light by demonstrating patience towards others. Can you be patient with someone that is unusual, that has quirks? And make mistakes, faithfulness. Rather than being skeptical, cynical, can you develop that talent to remain faithful, steadfast, committed to your family, your brethren, the congregation, in spite of the congregation's flaws? Sometimes we get sick and tired of certain people in here. Well, I've got to deal with every one of you. I have to be faithful. And I'm not real good at it sometimes. Some of you aren't any good at it either. We need to increase in our faithfulness. Just keeping on with it. Keeping on. Overlook the ruts and the bumps and move forward. What about your generosity? Oh, I'm not talking about dollars. I'm talking about food. Generosity with your time. Generosity with your good action and your good works. Your generosity with making a kind call. What about your generosity in learning how to run errands for people? What do they need? Can you give of yourself to help someone else? See, we need to overcome any negative thing and grow away from what is wrong and grow into what is right. Now, I've tripped over a few ideas for you to consider what your talents might be and where you can increase your talents, your strengths. Now, today we're preparing for the Spring Holy Days. In our preparation, we'll take time to get out the leaven and to get rid of sin. But are you going to leave a vacuum, a hole that is going to be filled back in, because you make this a day that you take the leaven out? Instead of only doing that, we need to bring the ways of God in. Prepare for the holy days, and please understand that God loves you, that Christ died for you, that he wanted you to enjoy something special, so he created an opportunity for you to have a piece of his strength, his spirit. Now he's given that to you. What are you doing with it? There's more that I should be doing. I want to be the guy who takes the 5 talents that's been given to me and make 5 more. Unfortunately, I think I have a few less than 5 talents that have been given to me, and I need to be about more cooperation in my life, making them better. We are all capable of multiplying our talents by tapping into God's Spirit. And so in this feast that we approach, don't just get sin out. Bring in what is right, honest, and good. Don't stop by telling yourself no and allow yourself the fears and self-imposed limitations. That will only stunt your spiritual growth. Let's believe in the promises that He has given to us. And the answer is, let's be cooperative and helpful. So please, look at your talents. And if you only find one, develop it. Can you sing? Can you help someone that is discouraged? Can you hit your knees and pray all kinds of times during the day? What can you do? What particular thing is all of a sudden you realize, well, I can do that. Do it. Let's be the people of God moving forward. Get sin out, yes. Bring a new way of life in. Believe that you can develop your God-given talents.